Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Let's go to the vision. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, vision in the Bible is so, it's magnanimous, it's so big. It's like what God's trying to get us to do is see things His way. When we begin to see it His way and do His will, then we get to experience all He has for us. And see, that's the whole idea. He's trying to get you to agree with Him and to see yourself as He sees you, and you to see the world the way He sees it. Now, the word vision is the same word as revelation. They're synonymous, same word. It says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. But where there is revelation, it brings restraints. You see that? So where there's vision or revelation, it brings restraints. So the word vision means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. The Word of God, we need to hear the Word of God prophetically spoken over us continuously. And what it does is it reveals our hearts. It reveals things in our life that God's trying to redeem. Remember, we are the redeemed of the Lord. And He wants to redeem every area in our life in His will so we can accomplish all He created us for. Does that make sense? And that's why it's so important to be in a house, in a church, family, where the Word of God is being prophesied over you so you can have His vision and see things the way He sees them. Because it talks about in Jeremiah, he says, your prophets have seen visions. In Lamentations 2:14, your prophets have seen visions, false and deceptive visions. Therefore, they have not uncovered your iniquity, and you remain in captivity. See, if you don't have a clear vision, a true vision, you stay in captivity. You stay in bondage. But if you have someone that's a true prophet that's bringing a true vision over you, it liberates you. It sets you free to be who God created you to be. Am I making sense? And that's what God's calling us to. That's what God is calling us to. That's why a vision here is so important. That's why we read it every week. Because if you want, see, vision gives you the restraints you need to move towards God's will. I need restraints to get out of bed sometimes. I need restraints to guide the church. I need restraints to love my wife. You see that? To love my children. You see that? I need restraints to not retaliate when somebody does me wrong or does something. I can give them grace and mercy. The restraints necessary come from vision. You see, you start to see things God's way. And that's why vision is so powerful. All right. Let's go to the scripture reference there, Noah. Hebrews chapter 6. Okay. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and faith toward God. All right. I'm reading a book by John Bevere, and he shares in his book that like from 2000, from 2000 till 2021, I think it's 66 million people have fallen away from Christ, fallen away from the church. And you know, it talks about that in Thessalonians, that there's going to be a great falling away. But here's my point why I'm telling you that. He says that, and then he goes to this verse right here. I didn't know anything about his book. I just started reading it. I started preaching this at the beginning of the year. I preached this last year. This is what the problem is. When you don't have this in your foundation, it's hard for you to stay a Christian. It's hard for you to continue on in the faith. You see that? And that's what he's alluding to. We have to understand, we need to keep hearing the word of God and have this as a foundation so we will repent. What's the word repent mean? Change your mind. Change your mind. Remember, it's the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia. Meta means change, noia means mind. So when we don't change our mind, see, we're to change our mind. Why are we supposed to change our mind? To the new creation. And the new, that's why he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind. That's to the new creation, the new you. The you haven't met yet. The you don't know yet. Did you hear what I said? And that's what it is. We have to grow into that and understand that. That's so important. And so that's why we have to keep growing and maturing. But when you don't grow and mature, you'll fall short when you're tested. You'll fall short when your faith is being tried. Am I making sense? And you won't know to repent. You won't repent. Now think about this. When you don't repent, it's paranoia. In other words, you pair up with thoughts that aren't from God in your mind. Paranoia. That's what paranoia. Fear, doubt, unbelief, anxiety. That's what paranoia brings. And that will pull you out of the faith when you don't want to change your mind the way God is calling you to. Did you catch what I just said? And this is why it's so important to stay in the faith. Now, let's look at this. Repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. We want to always, when repentance will always take you towards God. And that's what we want to be about. Now, let's go to Psalms 32:5 real quick, Noah. There's four elements here in this psalm after David repented. And the first one is, you have to acknowledge your sin. You have to acknowledge your sin. Look what he says. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Selah means pause and think about that. Pause and think about that. Ponder that. Now watch. Look what he says. I acknowledge. So number one element is you have to acknowledge that you have sin. Remember, all of our sins have been forgiven, past, present, future. But sometimes we will sin. You see, God sees you as holy. And he sees the blood. But when you sin now, you're on you, and you have to deal with it. Did you catch that? And then we repent of it. And we're back to where we belong with God. We're keeping that fellowship with God. See that? He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that's why we have to understand this. Now look, the second part, you have to be honest. And my iniquity I have not hidden. So that's the second element. You need to be honest about your sin. God knows everything anyways. And you know, when you tell him what's going on in your life, and you tell him things, he is glad to hear from you. He is tickled. It just makes him happy. And he wants to help you with what's going on. And he will give you the power and whatever it is you need to get to that place that he's trying to show you in your life. He will help you with that. Now here's the one we're looking at. Confess. The word confess literally means to agree with. So God wants us to agree with him about our sin. When we agree with him, we are in agreement with him. And then now we can really do something about it. You see that? So now, but this word confession is the Greek word homologio. Homologio. That's what it is. Same, homo, same, logo, word. So God wants you to say the same thing that God says. Did you catch that? God wants you to say what he says. And that's why our confession is so important. That's why I've been teaching on Wednesday night about our tongues. Death and life, Proverbs 18:21, are in the power of the tongue. You put the power and death into motion by what you say. That's why confession in the Bible, you got to understand it. It's something you have to understand. Can't be just something, well, I'll blow it off. You know why? Because you'll get so calloused in not, if you're not considering repenting and you're not aware of it and you're not acknowledging it, you just get so calloused and numb, you get numb towards everything. You see that? Yeah, and then you start getting it on everybody around you that's close to you. Making sense? This is huge. So we got to understand this word confession. Now, it's not name it, blank, you know, name it, claim it, call it, haul it, you know. It's not that. It's true repentance. And then now I'm going to say what God says. You see, because you, what you say, that's what you're becoming with your words. Your words are guiding your life. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. You can't tame your own tongue. You need God's help and fellowship with God in order to tame your tongue. And when you have that fellowship with God, he's going to help you tame your tongue. That's what it says in James 3. No man can tame the tongue. It's full of unruly evil, deadly poison. That's why you need God to help you with your tongue. Come on now, am I making sense? This is huge. So why our confession is so important. So now, when we understand this, you're going to really change what you say. And Noah, go with me to Hebrews 10:23. This is big. I'm glad you're all here today. This is so important. Look what he says here. Let us hold fast the confession, homologo, of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He says, let us hold fast. This word hold fast, it's two words. It's to hold something so tight as though your life depends on it. Did you hear me? That's what it's saying. This is serious business. Let us hold fast to our confession of our hope without wavering. Now, the word hope is joyful anticipation of good. Joyful anticipation of good. When you have hope, you have a joyful anticipation that good is coming. You see that? So you got something worth holding on to. Did you hear me? That's really the way it is. And when you hold fast to that, it's going to show up in your life. But if you give up and start complaining and carrying on, then you're going to miss out on what God has for you. Now look at this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Give me the next one. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. He's talking about coming to church. Let us consider one another. And one another in order. The word order is the word taxis. It's where we get the word taxis. And it's a taxidermy. Some people like to hunt deer, and they'll kill a deer, and they'll take it to a taxidermist, and they'll put it on the wall. And the goal of the taxidermist is to make it look alive. That's what God is saying. I want the church to look alive. I want it to look the way I want it to look. Are you catching this? Now look, in order to stir up love, that's agape, unconditional love. You can't do this on your own. We need each other to love each other and to love our families and our spouses the way God does. We can't do this on our own. We need each other. We need help to love this way. Now, and what happens out of that love is good works. Good works flow out of that love. Now look at this. You've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that you should walk in them. God had it planned out before you even showed up on the planet for good works. But you get it in the church, and you understand it in the church. Now watch. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So he's saying, we don't want to forsake the assembling together of ourselves. And that's the body of Christ. You know, some people say, well, I go to church once a month and I watch the rest online. Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but it's nothing like being here. When you come here, you see people, you feel energy, you get encouraged, and you know, and then you're in a life group, man, that just really changes your world. And you have relationships and stuff starts working. You got to work this word. People say, oh, it doesn't work. It does work. If you work this word, it's going to work. And you're going to taste what God has for you, and you're not going to want anything else. When you get a hold of what he has for you, get me out of here. Now watch. I used to put planes together and model cars, and it always started out, the assembly starts here. And now you had to assemble every little piece together to make it look the way it was supposed to. It has to be assembled. And that's the way the body of Christ is. We have to assemble together so every part can do its work. Now look at this. Why? Because the day approaching is the day of Jesus' return. We need to be excited. We're to be eagerly waiting for the coming of the Lord. That word eagerly means enthusiastic, enthusiastically excited. So we should be enthusiastically excited about the Lord's return.
Well, everybody talks about that. You know, they've been talking about that for 100 years, 3,000.
Get rid of it. That's just time. It may be tonight for you. Did you hear me? It could be that tonight for me. We're supposed to live excited. You see that? Did you see that? Now see, I want to preach right now, but I'm gonna hold still. Now think about this. You ready?
Yeah.
Now, let's go to Job. I want us to look at Job. So here's the thing. Our confession is so important because, look, what's coming out of your mouth? I did a teaching. No, you just hold still. I did a teaching Wednesday night. If you didn't see it, you ought to get on there and look at it. When you listen to gossip or you listen to talebearers speak negative about other people, that gets into your innermost being. And it changes the narrative of the way you see it and the way they see it inside the person. And it says God in Psalms 51 says God desires truth in your most inward parts. God desires truth. That means his will is that you have the truth. That's what desire means. Will. His will is that you have the truth in your most inward parts. It says that gossip gets into the most inward parts, and it will change the view, your worldview of everything around you. You see that? I said, did you see that? That's why we got to watch what we say. You know, it says in Proverbs 14:25, it says, a faithful witness delivers souls. A faithful witness delivers souls. But a false witness speaks lies. One who deceives speaks lies. All right? Now get a hold of this. When you complain and murmur, you are becoming a false witness. Did you hear what I said? You are becoming a false witness. Because the people need deliverance. Their souls need deliverance you're working with. God said, I put you on that job and in that family to be a true witness. But when you murmur and complain, you're putting the wrong stuff in those people. Did you hear what I said? You're putting a lie in there. Are you catching this? You're putting a lie in their hearts. And it changes the narrative and the whole about the way. But they're waiting for you, and they're testing you to see if you're going to speak something that will help them. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Am I making sense? But when you fall short and you complain and murmur, now you're putting the wrong thing in these people. And you know what? You're going to be missed. And then what happens? You'll come home from work, and there you are at the kitchen table, and you're dumping all that that happened at work on your children and your wife or your husband. Did you catch what I said? And murmuring and complaining. The word complain means, remember, C-O-M means to blame. Plain means lot in life. When you complain, you're blaming somebody else for your lot in life. You're not taking responsibility for your own life. And now you're becoming a false witness. Did you hear what I said? Oh. A true witness, look at that, delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. I want to be a true witness. How about you? I want to help people come out of the mess they're in. And I want to be everything I can be. Jesus said, for this cause I came into the world, that I could be I will be a faithful witness of the truth. And those who hear my voice know the truth. They know the truth. And if you're hearing his voice and you're in fellowship with him, you will share the truth with other people. And you'll put that truth in their heart. God desires truth in their most inward parts. And you'll be a faithful witness. And then you come home and tell people what you did at work. And tell your children what you shared at work. Am I making sense? That last verse is in John 18 about being a faithful witness, Jesus. Now think about this. Think about this. We had somebody that came to church here several years ago, and she seemed like she was excited. She always wore Jesus t-shirts. Always had Jesus saves, Jesus this, always Jesus. So somebody took me aside one day, says, you know, they work where I work. I said, man, that's nice. You have somebody that's a believer there working with you. Well, she goes, you know, all they do is talk about the supervisors and talk about negative about people. And they go in the lunchroom and they're complaining all the time. They're always talking about, she's always talking negative about people. This is the one wearing Jesus shirts. Did you hear me? That's a false witness. And she's talking negative about to them and blaming them for her problems on the job. Did you hear what I said? God put her there to see. He can't use that. That's a false witness. Am I making sense? I said, am I making sense? When you complain and speak against your supervisors and the people you work with, that's negative. You're there to edify them and build them up. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. Ephesians 4:29. Only that which edifies, builds up. Are you with me? And then it goes on to say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When you speak negative words out of your mouth, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And you're also planting seeds for your future and your life. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit of it. Your words are seeds. And you're planting, you're prophesying your own future with your words. Did you hear what I said? This is significant, folks. I want to be a true witness. How about you? I tell you what, I'm going to be a true witness. We were on our trip in Chicago. I was reading my Bible one morning, and I got the Uber driver. I got excited. I started sharing the gospel with this Uber driver. Never heard the gospel. Never heard anything about the Lamb's Book of Life. Never heard a word. Did you hear me? And I kept sharing. And you know what? You know what I noticed? His eyes, man, in that rearview mirror, right on me, listening to what I'm saying in that back seat. Because he was hearing something he'd never heard before. And you know, I didn't get him out and get him to get down on his knees and repent. I was putting seeds in his heart. I was putting truth in his inward parts. You see that? And it was coming from me and my fellowship with God. And I know it was planting something. And I gave him a good tip and blessed him. And he was thinking about what I said. Donita said, boy, you put some seeds. We put some seeds in his heart. Then we got another one. Was this one the Uber or Lyft? Oh, yeah, we went from Uber to Lyft. We got a Lyft. Same thing. Never heard the gospel before. Then we were at a Starbucks. This 6'5" guy comes up to me. He's a security guard. Man, you look like this guy here on this YouTube. I said, that's not me. He goes, I thought it was you. I said, it's not me. And Donnie says, he's better looking than that guy. I said, that's right. But here's the thing. She said, I was better looking than that guy. It's okay for her to think that. You don't have to think that, but she does. She understands words. Amen? Think about this. So I'm talking to him. He's never heard anything about it. And man, I'm telling you what, he zeroed in on what I was saying and started typing everything down. Where's your church? I think he was watching Wednesday night. His name's Malik. So pray for Malik. And he was typing it all in his phone. He said he'd never heard it. And he walked away. I could tell. We had to get going. He walked away. Something was going on in him. You see, when you fellowship with God, you know what? It wasn't like, you know, you need to repent. No, I was just natural. It was just coming out natural. It starts to come out natural. When you love God, it just comes out natural. When you really start to feel how much God loves you, he wants you to hear his voice. Because he loves you so much, he's going to do whatever he can to get fellowship with you. That's wedding language. God is always speaking wedding language. You see that? Always. He loves you so much. He's not mad at you. He wants your fellowship. You see that? This is wedding language.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.